Heavenly Father, I thank you for this beautiful Resurrection Sunday, and that we can all gather together in your Son's name to rejoice in your wonderful gift of life, love, and salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, everybody, and please take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 24. I got two words for us today, and they are sweet to the soul. He lives. He lives. I am so excited to share the word today. We're just going to see some amazing truth that I hope will electrify your heart as much as it does mine. One of the highlights of my life years ago was going to Israel, the Holy Land, the place where Jesus lived and walked, where he died and rose from the dead. And the last day we were there, we went to a place called Gordon's Garden Sepulchre. It was an ancient tomb built into the mountain and had a huge, huge stone rolled to the side so you could go in and see the actual tomb. And I remember our British tour guide saying, "There are many tombs in which he could have been laid, but we don't really know if it was over here or another place. We're not actually sure where the location of the tomb is, but this one thing we do know, he's not in it. He's not in it." And of course, everybody broke out in applause, praise, glorifying God, because that is an electrifying moment when you realize Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen. He is risen. But what I want to do this morning is take a look at some folks who knew exactly where that tomb was. You know why? Because they were there. In Luke chapter 24, and I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn," this was really before the sun even came up, "the women went to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared to finish anointing Jesus' body." They had started it on Wednesday when he died, but they weren't able to complete it because of the feast day the next day. "And they found the large," and I mean big, stone roll back from the tomb, which I think is interesting because guess what? Because of the Sanhedrin, Rome had set a seal. The government of Rome set a seal upon that big stone and put a guard out front. Well, you read in other records, the guards kind of took a little pass-out pill, spiritually speaking, and when they woke up, the tomb was open. That's the way God rolls. Nobody can stop God's plan. Have you ever noticed that? When God has a plan, nobody can stop it. Not even the most powerful government on earth. In verse 3, "But when they went inside, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed and wondering about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothing stood near them. And as the women were terrified and were bowing their faces to the ground, these dazzling men said to them," one of the great quotes of all time, "Why seek you the living among the dead? Why seek you the living among the dead? He's not here," verse 6, "but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was with you in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise from the dead again?" He had told them all this. It's recorded back in Matthew chapter 20, verse 19. Exactly what was going to happen. And they remembered his words. And after returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 apostles and to the rest. And can you imagine this report? I mean, how animated, wow. Crazy, man. Verse 10. "Now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna, the wife of Chuzza, Herod's steward, and Mary, the mother of James, and also other women that were telling these things to the apostles. Okay, so here's a bunch of men behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. We know that from the Gospels. And these women jabbering, saying, wait, wait, he's not there. He's gone. He's not in the tomb anymore. Can you imagine their animation? But man, put yourself in their shoes. Their friend, their teacher, their Lord, the kindest, most loving man they'd ever known, had been captured, tortured, crucified, and now they couldn't even find his body? How would you feel? I have to assume they were in utter despair. They had such high hopes of bestowing this one last honor, of anointing his body according to the custom, and that hope was dashed. And remember, there was only one man at the foot of the cross, John. All the rest were women, and these were the women who had stood at the foot of the cross, witnessed that heart-wrenching Wednesday afternoon. They were the ones with Joseph of Arimathea who had taken the beaten, broken body of Jesus from the cross, taking him to the tomb, and this was the final insult. They come back to the tomb 3 long, excruciating days later, 72 hours. And by the time they get back there to honor their friend, their teacher, their master, to finish the job, poof, there's nobody there. Literally nobody. Only angels who said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is risen. He's alive. Believe that." Take that home, women. So they went back and told the apostles. And if you pick it up in John chapter 20, in verse 1, it talks about how they, Peter and John, those two came back to the tomb. And Mary Magdalene went back with them. And when they got there, Peter and John went inside. They saw the empty slab where the bodies were buried. There was a slab that was elevated about 2 feet off the ground. They saw empty linens, grave clothes, nobody in it. And I always love this point. They saw the napkin that had covered Jesus' face set aside by itself, neatly folded. You know what that says, people? No rush. Nobody rushed Jesus out of there. There were no grave robbers. He just folded the napkin neatly. And it says in the Gospel of John, at that moment, John believed. Doesn't say much about Peter. And they went back home. But, Mary tarried behind. We're going to pick it up in verse 11. But first I want to say, who was this woman, Mary Magdalene? Well, she seemed pretty important in these records. So was she a town leader? Was she head of the Jerusalem PTA? Was she an honored citizen back in Nazareth? No. The Bible tells us she was a recovered wreck. In Luke chapter 8, verse 2, I can read it to you, or you can keep your finger in John. Go back there in a second. A certain woman, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Not your model believer, it seems like, at the time. Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom went what? 7 devils. She's not getting the award for Woman of the Year. She's a messed up wreck. But she's just a certain woman who needed God's love and healing so desperately, and she got it. But you know, my mind goes to those 10 lepers that Jesus healed, and only one turned back to glorify God. She may have been a certain woman, but she was a woman whose healing had a profound impact on her. She loved Jesus because he first loved her. He delivered her in a way that she recognized changed her life, and she became one of his most devout disciples, following him with a group of women every place he taught. Oh man, I can so relate to this woman. And if you've read my book, I Saw the Light, But He Saw Me First, you know I can. A wreck, messed up, feeling without God and without hope. And Jesus took me out of the miry pit and set me upon a rock, and I fell in love with my Savior. Just like Mary Magdalene, she was a woman who had been a total basket case. Oh, I'm sure many of you can relate to her heart. And when you realize, when you've ever been healed in this depth, and you're like that one leper that turned around and praised God, and you give thanks, and you fall in love with your Savior, it's a love that doesn't seem like any other earthly love, because it's a spiritual love that burns like a white flame in your heart. And you don't want to put it out. You want to pursue it, to fan it, to flame it, to fire it up. And you know why she followed Jesus? Because his thing worked. He was not like the scribes and Pharisees, but one who had authority. But even more so, one who loves the unlovable, and she got it. She was grateful beyond words. You can see this from her actions. So by the time Mary comes back to the tomb the second time and can't find him, she is overcome with sorrow. She is bereft. She is inconsolable. She's weeping out of control. John chapter 20, verse 11. But Mary stood without the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and she looked in the sepulchre again. And it's interesting that Peter and John didn't see the angels, but she sees them the second time. And she sees two angels in white sitting at one at the head, another at the feet of where the body of Jesus had lain. Verse 13. And they say unto her, Woman, they're asking her the same question, Why weepest thou? And she said unto them, Because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him. I mean, she's desperate. And she steps outside, distraught, beside herself with grief. And then she sees a man she assumes is the gardener. And she begs him to tell her, Where's my Jesus? Where's my Jesus? Oh, I don't know about you, but I want to have that kind of passion to seek Jesus every day of my life, people. And verse 14, And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not it was him. Verse 15, Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me, Where hast thou laid him, and I will take him away? Verse 16, Jesus said unto her, Mary. Oh, gosh. One word. Intimacy. Her name. She turned herself, instant healing, and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, my master. Oh my goodness gracious, what a moment, what a crossroads, what a seminal moment in her life. In Mary's darkest moment of despair, when the man who had healed her, given her new life, given her a hope, she thought he was gone, never to be seen again. And here he is alive, and with just one word, her name, Mary. Mary. Jesus turns her despair into joy unspeakable. Oh my goodness. Put yourself in her shoes. Put yourself in her shoes. Here in her moment of utter desperation and despair, this man who she had seen with her own eyes die on the cross is standing there, beautiful, glorified, risen, speaking her name. How intimate, how personal. Oh man, just try to imagine somebody you love that much and you thought they were gone forever. And 3 days later, knock, knock on your front door, and there they are, risen to life. Well, you'd probably faint first. But then, when you realize it was God that raised him from the dead, you'd be full of joy, you'd be full of thanks, you'd be full of appreciation. I mean, I think of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, how they felt, how they rejoiced. What a rush, what a Holy Spirit high. And he did it with one word, Mary. It brings tears to my eyes because even as the risen Christ, do you know what that one word was? People, it was rhema. Rhema. It was an exact word from the King of the universe, God, spoken through the lips of Jesus Christ at just the moment she needed it. It turned her utter despair into joy unspeakable. And friends, that's what the rhema still does. Rhema is all powerful. It still changes lives every day around the world. I just want to have a little sidebar here to remind you that Logos is the Bible, the written word of God, which is our foundation upon which our stone of believing stands, our heart, our trunk, our inner belief. But rhema, our word spoken from the heart of God to our spirit in real time to meet a current need right now, right here, living word of God. Like Jesus spoke when the woman was caught in adultery. Everybody in that crowd knew the Logos backwards and forwards. They knew what the law said. And under the written word, it condemned the woman caught in adultery. But there was something that superseded everything else. The rhema, the word fitly spoken from the throne of God at the right hand at the right time. And Jesus said, truth. He saw the higher truth, the truth of love in the word and said, okay, we know what it says. But let him that be without sin cast the first stone. He didn't say anything else. They were all convicted in their own hearts, dropped the stones, and walked away. And he forgave the beautiful woman and said, go and sin no more. That's the rhema. That's the fruit of the rhema. Jesus not only said the right word, but at the right time. Oh my gosh, so much is wrapped up in that one Mary. Mary came right from the flow of the river that flows from the throne of God. That was Jesus walking by revelation, by the Spirit of the living God flowing through him. And he's our perfect example of how to do this always. But you know what most people miss on this? Mary had done her part too, to receive the rhema from Jesus. What was it? She sought. She sought. Where is my Lord? Where is my Lord? She sought him with tears. Boom, there he was. Why didn't he show himself to John and Peter? I don't know. All I know is one thing you get from these two records. She sought and sought and sought and wouldn't give up. She was like a Texan on a pork chop. She wouldn't take no for an answer. That's where we need to be. You know, Jeremiah 29:13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. I have never seen a more concrete lesson than Mary Magdalene. And this principle still holds true today. And what was her response? Oh, heart aflame of joy, humbled, blessed, relieved, Rabboni, Rabboni, Rabboni. You know what that word Rabboni means? My teacher, my master, my Lord, Rabboni. And he will do the same thing. He will reveal himself to us to the degree and to the level we seek him with all our heart. Jesus will reveal himself to us, not just when we have a crisis, but any time, any day, anywhere, when we seek him passionately with all our heart. We tune out everything else and we're laser focused. I just want to know my Lord. I just want to see my Lord. I want to know my Jesus, the risen, glorified Christ. That is the passion in my heart every day. And boy, I'm teaching this to myself just like I'm sharing it with you. I'm not where I want to be. But boy, my train has left the station. Praise the Lord and pass the peanut butter. But here's another lesson. Here's another key here. When we feel at our lowest ebb, even at a time where we may feel God forsaken, because we know he never forsakes us, but we may feel it, what do we need to do? Get a hold of the reins of your heart and seek him with every fiber of your being. And he'll show up just like he did for Mary. He will give you that rhema that electrifies your soul. He never disappoints. And look at this example of Mary Magdalene and the risen Christ. What an example for us to follow. She sought the Lord with her whole heart. And she recognized him with one drop, one word, Mary. And her response, Rabboni, filled immediately, boom, turned around in an instant. Relief, joy, hope, comfort. People, Jesus hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is just waiting to bless you the way he blessed Mary. And my prayer is, because of this sharing, that all of us, will have many Rabboni moments in the here and now. You know why? Because we're designed to live like this, to walk and talk with the glorified Christ. But we find him when we seek him, if we seek him. He doesn't move. But when we forget and we begin to weep and we begin to be in despair and we begin to think, he's not there. Because he's there. But if we begin to think it, oh, where's God in this? Oh, how's God going to do this? Oh, why would he do this for me? No. That's when we feel miserable, alone, and afraid. But praise God. God designed our brain. He designed our heart. He designed our nervous system. He designed our body to be a huge walking antenna to receive the rhema. Luke 4:4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema. When you see a word of God in the Bible, you've always got to look at the Greek and see if it's logos or rhema, because those are critically important distinctions. But by every rhema of God, Jesus only did those things he saw, Rhema, the Father do. God speaks to us in words, visions, feelings. That's the sword of the Spirit, not the mind of the Spirit in Ephesians. And it's not a random word or a random scripture, but that living word that comes to us in real time, that's sharper than any two-edged sword, precise, it cuts right through the darkness. It comes from the throne of God, sent to us by special delivery, right from the lips of Jesus, comes the same way. Rhema. Mary. Man, oh man. And you know what? If you can't tell by my excitement, it's every bit as thrilling today as it was when that beautiful woman stood at the tomb and got it directly from the lips of Jesus Christ. We seek him with the passion of Mary, and he reveals his true nature to us. And it says in Corinthians that we see God, the face of God, through the face of Jesus Christ. The more we know Jesus, the more we know God. And folks, it's just a way of life, like breathing and eating. Breathing and eating. Remember in Luke 4, Jesus said we need some bread to live physically. But even more importantly, we need the bread of life, the rhema, to live spiritually, to live above the world, to live seated in the heavenlies, not weighed down by the pressures of life, but living above the world where Satan's darts at us are hurled. We live in the flow. We allow ourselves to believe that it's Christ in us. And when we get that down, man, that we're in and with the Savior, that's when we know that we know that we know that there is no weapon or illness or poverty or demonic curse formed against you that can prosper, because he's in us, and that makes us holy ground, legally his. Darkness cannot coexist with light. The more you believe you're filled with Jesus, the more the darkness flees, sometimes without even a prayer. It just goes away because you're pulsating with his light. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. You are holy ground. He's your Rabboni. And the master takes care of his own. That is Jesus' joyful ministry, to love you and care for you every day, 24/7. And the only reason we ever weep in life is when we think he's not there. When we feel forsaken, which is a lie from the pit of hell. But we just have to bring our mind back and recognize he's there, closer than our very breath. And we just turn off the clutter of our brain and turn our hearts to him, because he's calling your name. Sue, Rob, Linda, Chris. He's your Rabboni. Seize your moments so that you can be transported into his love and once again feel safe and hopeful and blessed. Jack, Katina, Judy. In my meditation, my prayer time a few days ago, I had this very vivid vision like old Peter had on the roof when he saw the blanket come down with all the unclean animals. Said, kill and eat. My vision was quite different, but just as real. I saw myself walking up to my wooden desk in my office, and it was piled high with stacks of paper and debris and all kinds of clutter, just everywhere. And that's not what my desk looks like in real life. It's very orderly. And in this vision, it was covered in clutter. And I went up to that desk and I violently knocked all the clutter onto the floor. And the only thing left on my desk was a 12-inch high three-dimensional block letters glowing, right? A foot high, sitting in the middle of the desk, glowing with just two words. Believe me. Believe me. It sat there, pulsing, glowing. Believe me. And I instantly got the memo. Peg, push aside all the clutter in your mind and just focus on me. Believe me. Believe me and all shall, puts it in the absolute tense, be well. You know what that vision was? It was rhema to my spirit in real time. Let go of the clutter. Focus on the risen Christ. I've got all your problems solved. Focus on me. And as I watched that pulsating three-dimensional sculpture on my desk, believe me, I had a thrill, a Holy Spirit high. Might have been how Mary felt that day when she saw the risen Christ, because I knew it as well. I knew he's with me. I knew I could let go of the junk. What's the takeaway here? When you have problems, don't focus on the problem. Focus on the Master, Rabboni. He's the answer to all our problems. 2 Corinthians says, the Lord is with you while you be with him. If you seek him, he will be found of you. It also says, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now there's a life lesson that's stronger than goat's breath. If you can't hear from Jesus, who's moved? Not him. We're the ones that have closed the ears and eyes of our spirit with the clutter, the mess of life, so that we feel forsaken, although we're not. That's why in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, talking about sin and the weight that does so easily beset us, what was the answer? Look unto Jesus. Look at Jesus. Do you see a pattern here? The author and finisher of all faith, including ours. He's given us his faith. But we have to use that golden key. We have the faith of Jesus Christ. Seek him. Focus on him. Look to find the glorified Christ among all the clutter. Let his light come bursting through and expect the rhema to flow freely from heaven to your heart. He's got your back, folks. Calvary covered it all. We're commanded to cast our care upon him because he cares for us. The little burdens and the big burdens. We're told to rest in his love. So if you find yourself distraught like Mary was, weeping, running around, seeking the dead among the living, gently bring your mind, talk to yourself, talk to the mind, bring yourself back, say, wait a minute. Try to get a picture of Jesus. Focus on him, the risen, glorified Lord who loves you and promised to supply all your need. You know what? It took me a long time to realize that when I am blessed and prosper and I'm in health, that's what blesses my daddy. That blesses God. That ministers to his heart to see me prospering, just like it ministers to your heart when your children prosper. But don't seek the living among the dead. Why go back to the world or your own five senses for answers to life when it's the world that got us messed up in the first place? No, 1,000 times no. We go to the living word. We press into Jesus. We step into the flow of his love that comes straight from the throne of God. There is a river that flows from the throne of God that makes glad the city of God, us, the inhabitants, the body of Christ. Man, doesn't living in that flow sound nice? It sure does to me. The great news is he's alive. Jesus was alive the day the women went to look for him in the tomb, and he is alive and right in you right now. So seek not the living among the dead things of this world. Seek him. Seek him, the light of the world. Trust that your today is going to be better than yesterday, no matter how good it was, and that your tomorrow will be even better than today. Think high. Think big. Think success. Think victory. Believe that sickness or pain that you've carried for years can still be healed. Like the person who was sick for 38 years. Still got healed. God's will has not changed. Trust that anxieties and worries that you've carried like a tattoo on your back your whole life can be erased and can melt away in his presence. Believe that a peace like you have not yet known, is just within your grasp, because we're always growing in the fruit of the Spirit. Trust God that blessings that you've given up on years ago can still be yours. Don't quit. Trust him that love and friendships, even new ones, can be richer and fuller. Believe that new adventures with God, his mercies are new every morning, are now low-hanging fruit, ripe for the picking. Lift up those hands which hang down by feeble knees and get your second wind to burst with passion for Jesus, your first love, all over again. Stay madly, passionately, wildly in love with the one who set you free. One of my personal affirmations that I wrote down in my journal is this: my tomorrow is going to be even more full of God's life and healing than today, as I grow in grace and in my personal knowledge of my risen Lord, and I am safe in his presence. There is nothing sick or broken in my body or my soul that Christ cannot restore to life again. Nothing. All I have to do is say, "Lord, help me," and he does. This was Rhema, hearing from God what I wrote in my journal. My friends, the future is as bright as those promises in Ephesians. And God is not done blessing you by a long shot. But let's stop feeding on the bread of death, lifeless words of sickness, defeat, and frustration. And let's feast on the bread of life that comes down from heaven. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life that comes down from heaven." Look it up. That only comes from the risen Christ. Seek God to help us open the ears of our hearts to hear his voice, his rhema, all through the day, and let him deliver and comfort you. I don't know about you, but I want to rivet the eyes of my heart on God, his Son, and his kingdom. When I get lax in that area, You know what happens? I weep and I get scared. I can always tell when I'm out in hog country because I weep and I get scared. But I know the way home. To dare to believe again, to come home to Papa. Starting with one truth, Jesus is alive and he loves me with all his heart. That truth is still alive today. Knowing that he lives, what should we do? What should we do with this? How about we live the words of the old hymn, "He Lives"? I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. He's in the world through you and me, people. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives salvation, wholeness to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. What a song! Who wrote this? Man, what insight. Now we can serve him. We can walk with him. We can talk with him because he lives within our heart. That day when I was standing there in Israel at Gordon's Garden Sepulchre, it was very late in the afternoon, and I looked up and I saw Venus, the evening star, that can be seen late in the afternoon, long before sunset. And I had looked at that same star over and over and over from my window in Maryland. When I was believing the rhema, this is all in my book, the rhema that God had told me one day back in July, this was now November, "Peg, I'm going to send you to Israel." And every time I saw that star, I would believe in my heart that I was going to see that star from Israel. And in 2 weeks, I hadn't seen that star. You know where this is going. But on that very last day we were there, standing outside the open tomb, I looked up and I saw my star. I had my Mary moment. God was more real to me. Jesus was more real to me when I saw that little star than he had ever been in my whole life. Mary. I had my star. I had my moment. What amazing grace. And he will do that to any of us who seek him with all our heart. Oh, Lord, I pray that we all have many Rabboni encounters with our living Lord. And here's the template. 1, Mary sought him from a heart of love and passion with all her heart. 2, she found him. And 3, he gave her the rhema, that word from the throne of God that she needed to be restored, revived. Her trust in God just exploded through every cell. And 4, here's the payoff. She got back the joy of salvation that David talks about in Psalm 51. On this Resurrection Sunday 2019, he lives. He lives. And the Lord put it on my heart, in closing, to give you a blessing, to give you a rhema in the authority of our Rabboni. So please bow your head to receive this blessing. And I'm holding out my hand of blessing towards you right now. I bless your soul this day with a resurrection of those broken parts of your heart, places that have been dead to faith for some time. I breathe the breath of God, the puff of El, into your heart and soul to awaken those parts of you that have gone to sleep at the switch, or those places that have not yet been awakened to my love. I cast down the strongholds that separate you from God's love, and I crush them to powder. I bless you with a straight path so the Lord can take you to new heights of believing and receiving. I bless you with a fire inside to do the works of Christ and to have the same relationship with Abba that Jesus has. Only seek not the living among the dead. Keep your focus on the risen Lord who loves you and gave his life for you, because my child, he lives, he lives, he lives within your heart. Dare to believe and receive it. Dare to go to the next level of life with Jesus guiding the way. He's just waiting for you, arms wide open, to make you every whit whole. Amen and amen. He is risen.